And hello, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind here in WBAI 99.5 FM. My voice gets deeper. Hey, listen, friends. Christmas, it's a funny thing, Christmas. You know, funny because I, as somebody who was born in the Catholic religion, but really don't adhere to it very much, and I know it's a Catholic kind of holiday. But then I know there are other things that people do, and I know that Jews have their own, and everybody else has their own Kwanzaa, and so on and so forth. But I really want to talk about the Christmas end of this thing without having to hedge too much. Because it gets around to this idea of gift giving. So I know there's a whole bunch of you out there who say, I don't want to be any part of it. I don't want to buy any gifts. I don't want to be. But you're in it. Since you're in it, let's talk about it today. So I'm going to talk about it, not just from the point of Christmas, but holidays in general, this being a holiday season. When you do, there are a few ways of looking at it. And one is what role you take at holiday time. Now, what role do you play at holiday time, especially in your family? Let's say in your family, are you the gatherer? Are you the person who collects people? Puts them all together, like my friend Jana said yesterday. Or are you the peacemaker? Are you the make sure that nobody gets too excited? Calm them down. I taught you all that Italian expression that we learned as a kid. We state zitto. State zitto means stop talking, right? And every time anybody would get bent out of shape in my family, everybody else in the family would say, state zitto. Don't get upset. Stop talking. Stop whatever you're doing. We had one buddy who listens to the program who at Thanksgiving one year, when his grandmother was going off, he stood up and said, "Stata zit." And he said it turned the family around. All right, now what else are you? Are you the producer of the holiday spirit? Are you the person who's the producer? Make it happen. You get the plates, you get the chairs, you get the everything, you know? Have everything set up all ready to go. Or are you the entertainer? Are you the person who's going to make sure everybody enjoys themselves? Or are you the scapegoat? That's an interesting role, the scapegoat, the troubled one, the one that everybody's concerned about, the one that everybody puts their problems on. Now, there are two kinds of scapegoat. There's the present scapegoat and the absentee scapegoat, which is very interesting because scapegoat has its origin in the word escape. So what is a scapegoat? It's the goat that left the herd and supposedly came back with demons, disease, so that the people originally, now watch this, goes back to Syria in the archives of Ebla, 24th century B.C. Try to picture 24th century B.C. Can you picture it? You get 2 B.C. I can figure that out. I can see maybe 10 B.C., 2400 B.C., there were people actually writing things down. And in this biblical scapegoat, in this one, it was like you got this one, an animal without confession of sins is a vehicle of evils that are chased from the village. So they chase the evil goat. Then later in ancient Greece, it was now shown that this goat represented the evils, and it had to be stoned. Then in the Bible, we had a lot of it in the Bible. In the Bible, the responsibility of those forgiven sins are accredited to the originator of sin, Satan. And then since the goat is sent away to perish, see, since you'd send the goat out, you say, get out of the family, goat. Scapegoat has come to mean a person who is blamed and punished for the sins, crimes, and sufferings of others. Now think of yourself as a scapegoat in the family. If you're somebody with original thought, if you're somebody who's rebelled, if you're somebody who stood up, the family sits around and talks about you. Ah, you know him. You know what he did. You know what he's like. Oh, you know, he killed my mother. Oh, he was terrible the way he treated her. And they talk about you. Now, there's a good thing to being a scapegoat. The other goats get to have a nice dinner. See, they grieve over you. They talk about you. When you're a returned scapegoat, that's really interesting because now everybody feels mad at you. They're all blaming you, but they're glad you're there. They don't want to say anything to your face. So there's a tension that goes on between the two of you. But somewhere in the background, there's this nice feeling that we're all together. The family's together. How could all this be going on when we're just talking about having a family dinner? You'd be amazed. In psychology, the scapegoat is a place where there's projection or displacement, aggression, hostility, frustration. You put it on another person or a group, and you put blame on them. You see, you got to blame the other person. Scapegoating is a tactic often employed to characterize an entire group of individuals. So you can do it for prejudice. You know, it's their fault. If it weren't for the blacks, if it weren't for the Jews, if it weren't for the goys. Scapegoating groups throughout history have included only every imaginable group of people, genders, religion, women. Women do so-and-so. Men do so-and-so. People of different races of nations, people with different political beliefs, the Republicans, the Democrats, you know how they feel. It's all scapegoating. Because what we're trying to do is find a reason for our own unhappiness. And we put the reason outside ourselves, because it must be outside ourselves, because we feel so powerless to do anything about it ourselves. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about events or vicissitudes of the holiday season. And in this particular case, I'm talking about one of the things that happened, which is called scapegoating. Scapegoating as a group requires that in-group members settle on a specific target to blame. So let's say you're at work, and you're the first floor workers, and you blame the people on the second floor. You know those people up there, they don't clean up their garbage. Yeah, they leave cups with coffee in them, and they put it in the trash, and then when the lady takes out the trash, it drips all that car over them, you know. And you just find a reason. You know, they're not so clean. They don't earn as much money. When negative conditions frustrate a group's attempts at successful acquisition of its most intention, essential needs, so when you need something desperately, then you can, and you can't find any way to get access to it, then you scapegoat, then you blame the other people. I mean, scapegoating is the whole idea of the wars that we've been waging. Let's blame the Iraqis. It's their fault. So this is very common in life. And this is something that maybe you become a target of, and maybe you have helped people target other people. I fully understand. Blame the other guy. If that's the best you could do, that's the best you could do. The trouble is, if you're scapegoated, how do you behave? Sometimes you could look at other people blaming you for their misery, and you could feel just sad for them. For them. You don't have to feel defensive. You don't have to say, don't blame me. You just feel sad for the people who are blaming you. Now, so let's move this away from the position that you take. Maybe you need to take a different position as this season comes around, and here's a phenomenon that's happening, which is that a funny thing happened in a kind of a, in this usual political and financial environment that we've been in. Last year, everybody pulled in their belt. Last year, people were afraid to spend. People cut back on their credit cards. People did not order things. Presents were smaller. People didn't buy houses. As house values dropped, your bank savings dropped. People got scared last year. And they got so scared that they pulled back, and Christmas was a disaster for sales last year. It was very small. This year, people are coming out of the closet. They're saying, oh, wait a minute. Why am I saving this money? Why am I waiting for the disaster? Why am I getting 1% interest in the bank? So what people have done have stepped out to go buying again, and you'll find that there are a lot of present buying out there. However, the new twist is people are buying themselves gifts. Yes, the new amazing thing, giving yourself a present. So 57% of consumers said they'd expect to splurge on a personal gift for themselves. That's up like 10% from last year. I'm going to buy myself a present. I'm going to get myself a present. Of course, I'm going to be asking you, my friends, about what present you would get yourself, because I'm kind of looking. This is a physical present, and there are other presents you could do. This year, shoppers celebrate during the deal season, so they've been looking for the deals. So we had the Black Friday and the raunchy Monday, whatever that's called. What was Monday called? Okay, so Friday and Monday. So those two, and people went out there and they bought like crazy. One friend told me he saw somebody going by with two 52-inch TVs in their cart, right? And he said, yeah, giving them as a gift, and said, no, these are for me. These are for me. These both are for me. So people have looked for deals, and now they find deals. But now here's the other side of it. People are using their plastic again, and they're using your credit cards to get themselves back into the same position where they're going to be in debt, and they're not going to be able to move their debt, and they're going to get an American Express bill, and they're going to say, how did I ever get here? How could I be owing this much money? Because somehow they didn't figure out if you put it on the bill. Like one person I know decided to pay back some money to somebody else on her bill, and then when the bill appeared, she said, how could I have such a big bill? Well, so this thing that's happening, and people are beginning to suffer again from the plastic thing, trying to catch up. But that's okay, because the average person is going to spend, are you ready for this, $130.43 during the holiday season to take advantage of sales and details, and they're going to be buying themselves presents of all kinds. Now, that's buying yourself a present, and that's a good thing. One of the other phenomena that they relate to this is a thing called, recession fatigue. Recession fatigue is when you build yourself into a recession, you think you're in a recession, your housing is going down, they told you you're in a recession. Didn't they tell us we're in a recession? The guys with a lot of money, that's why they can't lend us money, that's why they can't support us, that's why we can't get government funding, because supposedly we're in a recession, and we're in this recession. Now everybody gets ducks. Says, oh, I'm in a recession, the banks are going to fail, what am I going to do? And then you get this recession fatigue, which is people who just get tired of being scared. And so they come out, and they say, I think I'll get myself something. Now, of the things that people get themselves, which you might consider if you're going to get yourself or do a thing for yourself, let's take a look at some of the things that people do most commonly, and I introduce you to my associate, Linda Vanella. Linda, what do they do?
Thank you, Armand. Well, they do a lot of things. For one, they oftentimes look to get a massage. They take a class.
What do you mean look to get a massage?
Well, they go to a massage therapist, and they treat themselves to a 60-minute or an 80-minute massage, something that they perhaps have often thought to give someone else, but yet at the same time never really took the time to give to themselves. And now they're saying, gee, you know what? I think I'll take that spa offer up and get myself a massage. There's also taking a class. They look to to go to an adult ed and take a bread baking class, or they will sign up for a gym membership or take a yoga class. So there are things that people are now saying, I'm going to gift myself. I'm going to go to a craft fair and select something for myself, along with getting things for others. Doesn't necessarily have to be very expensive, but something that they can easily afford, and it would be a treat for themselves. There's also planning a trip. This is a great time when people will pick a place that they've longed to go to, and they'll actually make a reservation. So there are buying a cologne or reading a book. There are things like finding a venue for laughter or for dance where you do not need a partner, such as a comedy club or a rock concert. These are a few
items. You're talking about things that people could do one day.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't make that clear. So it's one day. Mm-hmm. You take a day and you say, I'm going to give myself a present today.
Yes, take a day off and not go to work and, of course, call in ahead of time. But make that your day. Stay in your pajamas or go out shopping or read a book or just treat yourself.
This is not what you're recommending. This is what people do.
Yes. Well.
See, I don't think. I'm not sure if giving yourself a gift is a good idea. But it's big, and it's what people are doing. So I ask you, if you were to give yourself a gift, what would it be? And we're going to have you call in with those. What would it be if you were going to give yourself a gift? So here's these ideas, you know, these physical things. Go out, laugh, you know, have a good time. Equally, since we always think there's two sides to everything, you can spend the day miserable. You could spend the day and you could punish yourself. I know that doesn't sound good, does it? But you could deprive yourself. You could degrade yourself. You could look in a mirror and criticize yourself. You could blame yourself for everything. You could chastise yourself. Stupid me. You could hurt yourself. Pick on a scab or do something like that. You could gorge yourself with food. You could get drunk. You could call your mother looking for love. You could do all these things just equally because you're trying to induce some kind of feeling. You're trying to get a feeling, you see? And you want a feeling one way or another. You want to feel something. So people will sometimes feel positive, and other people will feel negative. Call up an ex. You know, and call up your ex and try to look, say you just want to have a friendly conversation. You know, a sure way that you can create some kind of negative experience, and which is what people do. I have a better idea. If you're alone, you watch the Jimmy Stewart movie. Right? Right? And it's like, so what I'm saying, and I think what you're saying, Linda, is people are taking a couple of different approaches to things. It makes so much sense that you treat yourself nicely, but it also makes sense that you treat yourself cruelly. Because in my mind, if people do treat themselves cruelly, it's because somehow they need that, and I can't judge it. So how about both? How about you treat yourself cruelly, and then you go to a craft fair and you buy yourself a pair of earrings? You know, how about you do both? How about you don't have judgment one way or another? Or if you need judgment, have the judgment. I think that everybody has the best idea of what they should do for themselves. And I'd like to hear from them today when they call in at 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with Linda Vanella and Jonna Valerio, who's with us, is helping. We're working at trying to find for you interesting ideas, ways of looking at the holidays that are different. Now, you know, there's another thing I wanted to say about that. There is a beauty in the holidays that we almost don't talk about. It's almost like on WBAI, we're not allowed to talk about it. You know, like if it's Turkey Day, oh, my God, how can we celebrate Turkey Day because of this? If it's a Catholic day, how can we celebrate a Catholic day? How do we celebrate days? Even if it's New Year's, you know, what about the people who are old years? So there's always a downer to everything, but there is something about the season and the holidays that is exquisite and beautiful if you could find the soft spot. You just have to find it. It's not going to be in the crowds. It's not going to be in, it may be in the snowfall, but it may not be in abundance. It may not be with family. The part about the holiday that gets me is a universal connection. My connection to everybody on this planet and everything on this planet somehow is more accessible during the winter months than it is to me during the brighter months. I feel it, you know. I feel this deep connection like snowfall. You know, I feel it. So somewhere in there, we get a chance to experience this ourselves. And if you just let it happen, you may be fine. And if you don't let it happen, that's fine too. So I would like to hear about yours. And I would like you to call in at 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. You know, keep in mind, a 40-hour work week means that most people work 2,000 hours every day. Then usually they prepare and go to work, and that takes 3 hours each work day. And then Americans work more hours than any other industrialized country in the world. Americans fall last on the list of taking leisure time. Get this. Based on 7 hours of sleep, the average person sleeps 2,550 hours per year. Now, thinking about an average of 8,500 hours in a year, that's that much, 60% of those hours are spent on work and sleep. With the remaining percentage more likely tried to be spent on loved ones, but there's not much time left. And that's okay. We make our choices in life to do what feels right, but we might consider changing the percentages a little. If you got to do the travel and you got to do the work and you got to get to sleep and you got to get to sleep, maybe those rest of those hours should be in somehow directed so that they are more directly giving you what you want, more filling you during that other time. One of the ways that you're not going to get it is in a silly argument over nothing with somebody you love. Another way you're not going to get it is by being nasty or having somebody be nasty with you. I think the difference between people who are happy and people who are not happy is that people who are not happy sweat the small stuff. Now, doesn't this sound so trite for me to say this? I'm saying something so simple, everybody knows it. But I can't imagine getting upset about a toothpaste cap. I just can't imagine it. Or whether my chairs are arranged in my room properly. I can't imagine being upset about it. I can imagine having a reaction to it. But upset about small things? Now, at one point in your life, it becomes important for you to focus like the scapegoat on whatever it is that you think may be causing the grief in your life. So you focus on the outside, not like the chairs or the dirty kitchen or whatever it is that you're focusing on. That's your scapegoat. That's going out there to blame the other thing. I say to you, my friends, however you could do it this year, you try to minimize the amount of time spent in sweating the small stuff. That doesn't mean ignore the problems. That doesn't mean spend money and then pay your bills later. No. It's the grief that you put in there. And it's the grief that you have with your partners. It's the grief that you have with your family members. You love somebody. I mean, you love them, right? And then you say something wrong, and then they pick on you, and then they have the nasty voice, and they come back at you with the nasty voice. I know what you mean, and I know what you mean. And then the nasty voice tells you, oops, either I stepped over a border, a boundary, and I did something wrong, or they are crazy at the moment. They are just coming after me at the moment. How do I get away with this? How do I get away from it? And if you're lucky, you could step aside. And you could turn around and say, you know, geez, honey, whatever's going on, I love you very much. And there seems to be a pressure right here. I don't think we need to go there. If it's possible, we could step out of it. Now, if you're both not interested in that, if you're both not invested in having it be positive, if one of you is really invested in making it a negative, they're going to win. Because if you love somebody and they're turning negative on you, it's going to hurt. You got to get used to that hurt. Because if not, you're always going to be fighting them to try to make them not be upset. The one thing that you could possibly do is not give in to it by jumping in and dealing with the logic of it. When they say to you, I don't have enough money, and you say, well, you had enough money. Well, no, I don't have enough money. I'm worried about my money. Well, let me tell you about money. And you start this conversation, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you got to talk about it the next day and the next day and the next day, and it becomes real. And what started off as something that was may have not been real at all becomes this big issue. So what's your problem? You go to work and a friend sees you and says, hey, you look down in the dumps. What's up? Well, it's my wife. She's worried about our house. She thinks we need a bigger house and I can't afford a bigger house. And she says to me, if only I had taken that other job, I would have. And I'm just trying to do the best I can now. I feel really bad, so I'm looking to raise the money, and I thought maybe I'd gamble on the Giants this weekend, and I'd put up all our money, and if we win, then we'd have enough for the house, and then, but if I lose, we just still won't have the house, so it'll be okay, so can I borrow $10,000 to go bet on the Giants? And you come up with something like that, and your mind just gets weirder and stranger and more strange, all over nothing. So as Ricky Rohr, the wise Ricky Rohr, would say, the less you sweat the small stuff, the more you step into humanity. This is Armando Melwitzi with the Positive Mind. We are going to take your calls right after the break, but now I have to explain something about Christmas music. I, at Christmas, try to disguise my Christmas music. I try to disguise it because it's so drippy, because it touches so many hearts in so many ways that it's negative. I remember once I went down to some Caribbean island because I just didn't want to get involved in the Christmas stuff that was going on and hearing it so much. And I went down. The minute I hit the island, all I heard was Christmas songs. All over Aruba it was. Everywhere you went. Christmas, lunch, Christmas, breakfast, Christmas, at the pool, Christmas, at the beach, Christmas. How did this happen? I was trying to get away from this because to them, Christmas is even bigger than it was to us here in the United States. So it was like I laughed at myself. It's like I said, well, this is kind of silly. You know, here I am trying to escape something and I'm carrying it with me. Maybe I should deal with my attitude. So while I was selecting music today, a very interesting thing happened. I passed by five different things, and five things I know were benign, easy enough, rhythmic enough, having to do with holiday season. But then I hit the big one. And the big one I hit was a vocal that is sappy. And I hit it, and tears rushed to my eyes. And I said, oh, no, this goes right to my heart. I couldn't play this because people are going to say you're saying Merry Christmas. They're saying it's a Catholic song. They're saying it's mushy. And I said, of course I can. Because I, my friends, belong to you in my most honest, best self. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to play you Shirley Horn singing something that goes right down to my basics. We'll be right back.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. with their eyes all aglow, will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. So I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Christmas to you. Shirley Horn, Mike Whitefield. You know, so it's like, if you're lucky, you have a friend or somebody you love, or a lover, or husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, daughter, son, dog. And you could sing that to them. Even if it's somebody who's passed. Even if it's somebody from the past, you maybe decide. 212-209-2900. Think about, consider gifting yourself or hurting yourself, whichever you choose. Consider your way that you're going to treat yourself around the holiday season. Is there a thing that you have in mind that you could do for yourself? Now, WBAI people are very generous people. Many people are going out there to help what's happening out there. This is one where I want you to talk about you for you. Linda mentioned this one thing about go out and either laugh or dance. either one of those twos and finding a venue for that, which is a very interesting way to phrase it, sure, because it's a venue you need. You need something like, what can you do? What kind of place can you go where you can just dance automatically, Johnny? You have any ideas? You have any ideas? You can go to a rock concert. Where can you just go into a place and decide to dance, and you could then dance?
I went to the Poisson Rouge recently on Bleecker Street, and it was great. They have music there all the time, live music. There's a nice big bar, and it's fun. It's right on Bleecker. It's called the Poisson Rouge.
And you don't have to have somebody to dance with. You just get on the floor and dance?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great place for that. And it's live music, and they have dance music, and you can just dance to the DJ. And
that's it.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing. Poisson Rouge. I like that. The red fish.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and then comedy clubs. You know, comedy clubs are usually silly, but they do get funny. You know, or any place else that'll make you laugh. Or a friend who makes you laugh. Or a friend who makes you cry. I mean, according to what your leaning is that day. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand. I really identified with that song.
I'm so glad.
It's in a minor key. And it just feels like you have a melancholy, and despite the melancholy that you're experiencing, you can wish the tiny tots a good time, and it lifts your spirits to see people with their eyes all aglow, and they're dressed like Eskimos, the humor of it. You can get a chuckle out of it.
What's your name?
Michael.
Michael, how beautiful. It grabbed me when I heard it. I just said, oh, no, I can't hold this back.
No, it's a really beautiful feeling, and I felt that.
Shirley, that's great, Michael.
Thank you for exposing us to that.
Yeah, nice. So how do you see your holiday season?
It's different. I walk with a cane now, and so hopefully next year I won't. But I can't do the thing I love, which is salsa. And it's kind of hard for me to treat myself, and without that, it's very different. There's a piece that's missing in my life. And
the movement because of the salsa, and the salsa usually involves another person.
Yes, partner dancing, and so it's a social thing, and I miss that social activity. I miss the physical activity. I miss the dendrites being fed with the nice positive juices, and it gives you a high. A lot of people don't drink when they're dancing salsa because you need to be on point, and the high is what you get on the dance floor. It's really a good feeling to be with people who have that mentality, and you share that. So it's a communal thing. It's like getting high and smoking a joint and you go pass it around, you know?
I was at a party recently, Michael. I saw there was a woman who was on a cane, and she was on two canes. She weighed about 300 pounds. Her legs were like big, you know, very, very big and swollen. And she must have been, 65 or so. She got up on the dance floor, and she was like on the dance floor on two legs. And the two legs were there, and the rest of her body moved with a spirit that just shook me. Because she used her arms, and she used her face, and she used her neck, and conveyed through those parts of her body her delight in being on the floor. I can't imagine how she stood there. Because to walk just 10 feet for her is a difficulty. But she found a way to free herself on the floor, and I could have wept. I thought it was so beautiful.
Wow.
So what I'm saying to you is, you know, maybe, Michael, maybe just because one has passed by, maybe there's another one coming, and maybe you got to go to the Red Fish and see what it's like to stand there with a cane and dance with three quarters of your body, because Jana will dance with you, for sure.
Oh, that's cool.
Right, Jana,
sure.
I'll
dance with you.
That's cool.
Michael, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lynn in Manhattan.
Hello, Lynn.
Hi. I like all your suggestions, although I have to say they're pretty typical. If people live in New York, there's always an opportunity to go out and hear some music and go dancing and get a massage. I mean, I think those are all really great things. I don't, you know,
But do you
think
do
that
them
they're really like super but, unique ideas?
But
like
Lynn, do you ever
really
do it?
Wild and crazy. That
would you like a wild and crazy idea?
Yeah, well,
I'll give you one.
Well,
are you ready?
Wild and crazy, my gosh! I could Google
I'm
going to
give you a wild and crazy
for
idea.
Christmas.
I know what you need to do. Are you ready?
What?
I need you to go to a park, and I need you to find a tree, and I need you to hug a tree. And just hold it in your arms and wrap your body around it, just your, not your legs, just your arms.
For Christmas?
Yeah, and hold it. Close your eyes. Breathe. I need you to hold a tree.
Okay. Actually, one of my ideas that I was going to call in is also to do something unexpected and unique, and if a lot of people are on a budget, I was also thinking about nature, so I will include your request for some tree hugging. But
think
I find that going to Coney Island or to Jacob Riis Park or any of the places like that, it's really easy. It's just a subway ride. And
you do it by yourself?
And you can do it by yourself.
But do you do it by yourself?
It's really beautiful. You have the whole beach to yourself, and there's been some very warm winter days, and it's a beautiful chance for reflection. And
Lynn, do you do these things? By
I us? Do. I do.
Good.
I actually go swimming if it's warm enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, just think I'm trying to, you know, this Christmas, because of economics, things are very tight. One of the ideas I had, and it was actually about gifting to others, which is a gift to ourselves, is I bought some bulk honey from the farmer's market. And that was only $25 for 3 pounds of it. And then I went to, like, the 99-cent store, and I bought some jars and disinfected them. And then I'm doing medicinal honeys, and anybody can Google that, like the different herbs and spices that you can put into honey and infuse them, like ginger, and tying it with a bow. And, you know, you can make a dozen of those with a couple pounds of honey and just, you know, give them away as gifts and keep the rest for yourself, and it's just a wonderful thing to be able to give people, or a housewarming, or something that's very, very low cost, that's very healthy for them, and it's sweet.
Nice. You sound sweet. Lynn, thank you very much.
Thank you, and happy all holidays, and winter solstice transition back to the daylight.
Thanks, Lynn.
Okay, take care.
So this idea of giving to yourself, now let me talk about presents for a minute. Remember that a gift is usually an imposition. That's, you see, when they quote me in life, that's one of the things they're going to write. A gift is usually an imposition, quoted by Armin. How is a gift an imposition? You see, when you give a gift to somebody, you're imposing on them appreciation. They got to at least say they like it. Now, there are some people I know who will tell you right away, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want it. Get it out of my life. But basically, when you give a gift, you're imposing on another person. That's why this whole idea of gifting should be done by registry, you know? We should all register the gifts we want. You know, like get me a new computer, or get me a new mouse for my computer, or whatever it is. This way you could register it, so you're going to get what you would really appreciate. But the beauty of gifting is surprise, delight. Getting something you didn't know you needed or didn't know you wanted. But I would say that 90% of the gifts that are received are usually either passed on, right, or not used. But what you do get when this person gives you the gift is the appreciation of their caring for you. Now, sometimes when somebody gets you a gift that's very unlike you, you feel a pain in your heart. How could that person be buying me a wool sweater when they know I have such allergies? You know? And you feel it. And you say, but you can't say anything about it. Sometimes the gift locks you in. I know one person who gave a big photograph of themselves to me once. What am I supposed to do with this? Right? This is a big photograph of yourself, well framed. So I reused the frame. You know, I kept that picture in there, though. I put another picture in instead. So considering that on the recipient side, it's an imposition, is also, I think, very important. So I think when giving a gift, you say, here's something I thought you might like. And it's okay with you, with me, if you pass it along. A good friend of mine gave me a gift like this yesterday. It was like amazing. She said, here's a gift for you. And she said, it's grapefruit soap. You know, that's what it was. And it's wonderful. But she said, and if you don't like it, please feel free to pass it on. She said, actually, you could pass it on to me. It was a wonderful gift. I loved the gift. I loved the intention that went behind it. But I love the freedom of being told pamplemousse could be passed. Pamplemousse is what it's called, by the way. Grapefruit in French. 212-209-2900, Armando Miller. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Yes.
Hi. I am going to give a gift. Right now.
Oops, I'm cautious.
What?
I'm cautious.
Why?
Because you're saying it in a suspicious way.
No, it's my voice. I'm losing my voice. Oh, I also walk with a cane. Uh-huh. And I recently started walking with a cane because of emphysema. Uh-huh. And I also used like a little cart, you know, to get me around. Not one of those medical things. This is something else. It's a little like a shopping cart, and it gives me some mobility. I'm going to do an improvisation takeoff on the song you played, the Christmas song, dedicated because radio waves go out further than human voices, don't they?
But listen, I want you to get to it because.
Okay, I'm getting to it. I'm going to do it. Lucy left me 3 years ago. I buried her deep in the East River for many years. She was the light of my life, and now she rests eternally. Soon, very soon, I will be again with her. Nestle her again. Her little head. Goodbye, Lucy. How I loved you so. Many days will pass before I go. Lucy. Goodbye.
What's your name? Yeah. The gifts come. Great. This is Armando Miller with you with The Bothered of Mind. What a radio program this is. What a program. You know, Atkins, and all you other folks who are steady listeners, and the Facebook people, it's amazing. What we gather. 212-209-2900. This is Armando Miller. Let's take another call. 212-209-2900. So love is... I'm asking you about the gifts that you would give yourself. And I'm sorry, we took a lot of time before during the break. So let me hear from you what you would give yourself this year that would be different. Because it may have to be different. It may have to be, let's take one of you right now. Hi, you're on the air, Armando Mill. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Stephen Armand. How you doing?
Talk to me.
Okay, I have... Last year, my business started doing poorly, and we didn't have money to buy a lot of gifts. So So what we did was me and my family compiled a list of songs that were special to us, put them on a CD, and mailed them to everyone.
What a wonderful thing.
Oh, fantastic. So that's even the business has picked up a little. We have some more money, but we're still going to continue that tradition.
Hey, would you send me one?
Absolutely.
Good.
You're on the list.
Good, 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 good. I'd love to receive people's music. I so often, I don't know if I request it enough, but if people send me their favorite music, it's wonderful.
Oh, Michael, it's fantastic.
I have so many songs, as you know, and your favorites would be special to me, Stephen, especially that it was developed during a time of love when you didn't have the resources. You know, great.
So thank you, Armand, and have a fantastic holiday.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Two and two, a gift of music. Now, how hard is that nowadays? It's such an easy thing to do, to take a gift of music and give it to someone else, or to give a gift of music to yourself. You see, compile a list for yourself so that you can have like a playlist. Put it on a CD. Have something you can play whenever you want. A beautiful thing. 212-209-2900. One more call if we have the time. Hi, this is Armand DeMille.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Yes, hi. This is Melanie in New Jersey.
Hello, Melanie.
And I just wanted to wish you a very Merry Christmas, very Happy Hanukkah, and a joyous season for you, and a Happy New Year. And just thank you for all that you do for all of us. If I could give myself a gift, I tuned in kind of late. I didn't realize you were on. And if I could give myself a gift, it would be to listen to you every day.
Oh, Marilyn.
Melanie.
Lovely. Melanie.
And I just wish the best for you in this new year.
What a nice thing.
And
so let me ask you,
for all
Melanie,
of us.
How long have you been listening to this program?
Oh, my gosh. A very long time, and you're not on enough. I'm glad to get through to be able to say that you're not on enough, and I know there's a lot of us who feel that way. I try to tune in every day at 1 o'clock just to see if you're going to be there.
Oh, no, it's Tuesdays and Wednesdays, with exceptions, okay. A couple of exceptions on Wednesdays, and then they have fun drives, and then they have other specials and things like that. But I'll tell you the truth, I used to do 4 days a week.
Okay. And I have plenty to do during the week, but whenever I can, I try to get around to put it on and say, is he on, is he on?
You could always go to the podcast. You could always go to my website and hear whatever you missed.
That's true.
There are hundreds and hundreds of programs on there. And I know people who do just that. They just decide whether they hear me live or not. They go back and listen to a previous program.
You know, it always seems, though, whenever you are lucky enough to get you that day, it's the message you need that day.
And what message did you need today from me, Melanie?
That's just your nice, peaceful, calming tone.
So you need
to reassure us all that, you know, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, so the message you needed today is someone to come along and say to you, hey, Mel.
All right, for all of us, Armand, I'm concerned about all of us. I mean, I know I'm okay, but I just think these are very trying times, you know, period. The whole year has been, and the holiday season just adds to it for a lot of people, I think.
Beautiful person. Melanie, thanks for calling in.
And thank you for all you do. Bye-bye.
Right. Armand DeMille here with my associates, Linda Vanella and Shauna Valerio. We will be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Go to Facebook page and make some comments. It would be nice.